I'm going to be jumping into a little bit of a series here for a while. I really felt in 2017, Matt kind of received this at the beginning of his worship time, that Jesus needs to be the center. Now, we know that Jesus always needs to be the center. However, I really felt that this needs to become a very primary focus in this next season in our church. And so I'm entitling this series, Pursuing Jesus. That's what the series is going to be about, Pursuing Jesus. And today I want to talk about resetting our hearts. And this is a principle in God's Word. It's actually a way of life. It's not something that you do once a year at New Year's. You know, New Year's is a time we tend to think about resolutions. We think about, you know, putting off the past and putting on the future. We may set some goals for our lives. But what I'm going to be talking about today cannot be done. In fact, should not be done once a year. It's actually a spiritual discipline that we find in the Scripture, in multiple passages of Scripture, that God calls us to walk this way before Him. Continually resetting our hearts, refocusing, redirecting our hearts. And we are in the middle of a warfare. How many of you guys know that? Everywhere you turn in this society, there are many things that would draw our hearts and take us away from the central things of God and even into the things of darkness. And so it's a constant battle. In actual fact, it's a constant warfare to take the ground that God has given us, not just out in society, but actually in our own hearts. This is where the kingdom of God is lived out. The Bible says that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, you won't see it out there, but the kingdom of God is within you. But that just doesn't happen automatically. How many of you know that even over the Christmas season, we can tend to become a little bit lax in some of our spiritual disciplines? It's a time of rest, but sometimes we take it as a time of rest away from God rather than drawing closer to God. And I really believe that one of the things that the Spirit of God wants to teach us and equip us in this next season is a lifestyle of continually living with our hearts before the Lord. And I want to talk about that under the title of Resetting Our Hearts, Pursuing Christ by Resetting Our Hearts. So the first thing I want to do is I want to take just a couple of minutes, because it may or may not be familiar to us. We use the word heart a lot. It's found over 1,000 times in the Scripture. And there are several Hebrew words and a couple New Testament words that are translated as the word heart. But I'm going to condense it down to a fundamental meaning. And so just to make it really simple without going into the Greek and the Hebrew, I'm just going to give you some of the foundational ideas that are at the basis of what the Bible teaches about what our heart is. And I want to say to you this first of all, your heart, biblically, in the Scripture, is the real you. The real you is not what we see on the outside. The real you is what's going on the inside. And so when the Bible refers to our heart, it's not talking about some nebulous, uncertain thing. It's the real person, the real character, the real heart, the real mind, the real desires of you as an individual that are operating continuously in you all throughout the day. Wake up in the morning, you know, it's there continuously. It's how you really are. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's not just the real you. It's talking about how you really are in your life, the way your life is lived. The heart is the inner you. Whatever is in the inner comes out on the outside. And the Bible says it this way, two very important passages of Scripture on the heart. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, that is the way he is. So you can see from the Scripture how important the heart is. It isn't the outward things that we look at, because we know that the outward things are simply the byproduct and the outworking of what is really going on inside the heart of a human being. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And then the other one is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, whatever is in abundance, whatever's going on in abundance in your heart is actually going to be what comes out of your mouth. It's going to be what comes out of your life. And so God is really interested in transforming our hearts, in dealing with our hearts and filling our hearts. So here's a passage that Jesus described concerning the heart. And there's a little bit of a truth in this that I want to just touch on. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in his heart." And then we have the scripture that's the context of the passage just quoted. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So this is one thing we know about our heart from the teaching of Jesus and the rest of scripture, is our hearts are not regenerated. Now, if you've become a Christian, you've given your life to Christ, the miracle of the new birth took place in your spirit. The Bible says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible says that, we are the spirits of just men made perfect. Our spirits have been born again. They are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But that is not your heart. Your spirit is in continuous relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a brand new creation that is Jesus and you being joined together. The Bible says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." That's the miracle of new birth. That's why it's a new creation. It's a new creation because the Creator himself, the Holy God, has come and he has regenerated your spirit. It was dead. It was separated from God, but God has made it alive. And that's why you have continual fellowship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to come to this place or go to any temple or a mountain somewhere or to a guru to find the presence of God, because the presence of God has come to take up residence right inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But where does Jesus dwell? He dwells in our spirit. But our heart, this other part of our being that Jesus tells us can be both good and evil, is not regenerated. It has the capacity of great good, but it also has the capacity of great evil. And I'm talking about Christians. Okay? This is not just people who don't know God. Our hearts have the capacity for great good. They also have the capacity for great evil. And that's one of the reasons why so much of what we read in the scripture about what God deals with in us is our heart. And you'll find it all the way from the beginning of the Bible right through to the end. Repeatedly, the Spirit of God is looking at the heart. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures on that. Remember when David was chosen to be the king of Israel? And Samuel the prophet, you know, God told him, "Go to the house of Jesse, for I have found me a man who is after my own heart. His heart is like my heart, and he is going to go after my heart." That's the description he gives there of David. Now, Samuel didn't know who it was. He just told him to go to the house of Jesse, and he knew that he would find there because God told him. God told him, "You're going to find in this family the man who is after my own heart." That's what God's after. Okay? So then he goes there, and we remember the story. It's a familiar story. And all the brothers are lined up there, you know, shortest to the tallest, and Samuel starts with the oldest one. The tallest and the biggest and the strongest and the best looking and all that, seemingly the most gifted one. And he thinks to himself, "Surely this is the one that God has chosen." And God says no. And as he goes through this process of walking through brother after brother, the Spirit of God speaks to the prophet Samuel, "Do not look at the outward appearance." God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Now, I want to say to you today, it's no different. Today, in this place, in our lives, every single day, you want to know what God's looking at? It's not the outward appearance. He's looking at our hearts. And that's where he wants to work. And that's what I want to, you know, bring us toward today. a process in responding to God where we are, I'm using the word resetting our Holy Spirit. Resetting our heart. There are other words used to describe it in the Bible other than resetting. And I'll talk about some of them. But let me just give you a bit more of a description of what your heart is. Give just a few things. First of all, the heaviest passage, I think, regarding the human heart, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. This is a heavy verse, but we have to take what the Word of God says. Okay? The heart is deceitful above all things. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, brothers and sisters, prior to coming to Christ, the influences in our lives, the way we lived was in distance from God. We were without God. In fact, the Bible describes us we were the enemies of God. And God brought us close by the sacrifice of His Son. But this is how God sees. We don't see this way. We don't see everything that's going on. We don't see the universe and the inhabitants of the universe the way God does. But when God looks at the human heart, this is what He sees. He sees a heart in man that is deceitful. That means deceitful toward others, willing to deceive others, willing to put on facade, willing to lie, willing to present ourselves a certain way when we're not that way, with willingness to deceive, deceitful, and desperately wicked. And that's God's work. God wants to get hold of that kind of heart. And He wants to grip that heart. And He wants to influence that heart. He wants to bring His Holy Spirit to bear on that heart. He wants to bring truth to bear on that kind of heart and transform that heart, the Bible says, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, a heart that is pliable and responsive to the Spirit of God and desiring the things of God. So that's one scripture. A heart can be wicked, but a heart can also be pure. Listen to this passage. Now this is also David. Okay, this is David after he had fallen in sin with Bathsheba, and he's going through a prayer. It's one of the most powerful prayers in the Old Testament. It's worth reading Psalm 51 as he walks through his repentance before God of the sin that he had committed. He had committed adultery and murder. And this chapter is the chapter of his repentance. Really worth reading. I want to emphasize just one little sentence in it. Psalm chapter 51, verse 10. Here's what he says: "Create in me a clean heart." That should be the everyday prayer of a believer, every day. You know, not a month ago, not a year ago, but every single day. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit that He wants to do, and He's looking for the responsiveness of His people toward Him, to allow Him to have that kind of relationship inside of us. So here are some of the things that the heart includes. And I don't have time to give you all the scriptures. There are many, many scriptures that teach this. I'm just summarizing it for you. Here are some things that your heart does. Our heart chooses. In other words, the will is a part of the heart. In the biblical description of a heart, it includes your will and the decision-making processes. How you go about making decisions are influenced by your heart, by where your heart is at. You will choose certain things because of the kind of heart you have. You will make decisions about certain directions and activities and things that you see, things that you don't see. You will make choices out of the contents of your heart and out of the condition of your heart. It's also, your heart in the Bible is also your moral character, both good or evil. Your heart can choose godliness and righteousness, but it can also choose uncleanness and unrighteousness. It has the capacity for both. In the scripture, your heart is also described as what goes on in your mind. That one passage we looked at, as a man thinks. So the thinking processes are a part of the heart. The reasoning processes, rational thought, comes and is influenced by the heart. It's a part of the heart and what the heart does. So the heart chooses directions based on thinking and attitudes and ideas and beliefs that are going on inside, the Bible says, in our heart. And the choices that we make, the things that we do, are proceeding from processes that are going on in our heart, thinking processes. It also includes imaginations, the imaginations of our heart. Now, I want to describe imaginations as the video screen of your mind, the things that you are capable of creating and imagining. Now, that's both the visual images, but also your ideas about your own life, your ideas about your future, the future that you visualize, how you visualize circumstances in your life proceeding in every situation that you're in. Your imagination is in operation, in anticipation of a future. You're in a conversation with somebody. You have an expectation that conversation is going to go a certain way. The imaginations of your mind are in operation continuously. And the Bible says that those things are a part of our heart. And what God wants to do is he wants to take imaginations that are high things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, and he wants to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's happening in our hearts. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to cast down those imaginations. Now, he gives it to us in command form, but he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, works on us to transform our hearts so that we have a desire to change the video screen in our mind and to change the visions that we have about our own life and about other people and the circumstances that we're in. He wants to transform our heart so that the imaginations of our mind are his imaginations. The ideas and the visions of our life are his visions. The last thing that I want to mention, there are other things, but the other major thing that's a part of our heart is our desires. And so your heart wants things. When you have a want, when you desire something, that's proceeding from your heart. That's your heart that is desiring something. Your heart, it's at work in the desire to have certain things, to receive certain things. It's also at work in your affections, what you are attracted to because of your affections for that. Now, we can use that simply, I have an affection toward my wife. I feel that. I feel affection for her. That's my heart responding to her. That's a desire inside of me toward my wife that is proceeding out of my heart. And that's how the Bible describes it. Your desires, your wants, your dreams, your hungers, your passions proceed from the human heart. You can see why it's so important for God. He wants to get hold of this area of our life so that we are transformed from desires and wants of things that are here today and gone for gone tomorrow, things that are actually destructive to our lives, things that actually will tear us down if we would give our heart to those things, desires that will actually lead us into bondages, desires that if we got those things, they would actually take away from the life of Christ inside of us. God wants to get hold of our hearts because he knows that in order for us to fulfill the call on our lives and the destiny that he has for us, the Christ-filled life, he has to get hold of our desires and transform our desires into his desires. That's one of the purposes that he wants to do. So the Spirit is at work in you through your born-again spirit to continuously bring influence inside of you to alter the direction of your heart, to change your heart. And so this is the promise. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's found, I'm quoting the Old Testament part. It's found in Corinthians as well, this passage. And here's the promise of God. Listen to this. This is a promise to you today. I will give you a new heart. My will is to give you a new heart. Now, brothers and sisters, what I'm talking about today, when I'm talking about the resetting of our hearts, I'm talking about our response to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's His desire. He's telling us this is what He's going to do. He's telling us that this is His will for us. He's telling us that this is how He goes about bringing about Christ's likeness in our life. It's actually by transforming this thing that has so much control on everything we are and everything we do. It tugs us in every different direction. It puts things in front of us that either are of God or not of God. God wants to take control of our hearts. And so in Christianity, we use the term giving Him our hearts, yielding our heart, surrendering our heart, opening our heart up to the Holy Spirit. And what I want to say to you today, and what I want to emphasize today, is this is not a one-time thing. This is a continuous thing that we do moment by moment. And can I say to you, we do it especially in the moments of temptation. We do it especially when the enemy is at work, when the traps are laid, when the enemy is out after our soul, when he is out to trip us up. That's the time, especially, that we need to be surrendering and responding and resetting our hearts to be toward the Lord. So I just want to share a few things about resetting our hearts, some of the terms that are used in the Bible to describe it. And the first one is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And a very important passage. It says, if you be risen with Christ, that's being born again. But the Bible says that we were buried with Him in baptism. We were raised with Him through the operation of God. We were born again of the Spirit of God, raised from the dead. Our spirit was dead, and now it has been raised from the dead. It is alive, and it's full of the life of Christ. If you then have been risen with Christ, now listen to this. If you've been risen with Christ, seek. There's an action word. Seek those things which are above. Go after them. Put them in front of you. Make them your goal. Set your heart toward the things that are above, the things of God, the things of heaven, the things of truth. Seek those things. That's an action. And it has to take place continuously. And then he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Now listen to this next word. Set your affection. That's the heart. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Can I say to you, that is the process. That's one of the descriptions of the process of resetting our heart. We're in a situation, we have opportunities in front of us, choices are laid in front of us as to what we're going to think, what we're going to allow into our minds, ideas, images that we're going to allow into our mind and our heart, words that are rising up inside of us that want to come out of our mouths. And what we do is we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work inside of us, and we agree with the Holy Spirit that we are only going to set our desire, we're only going to set our affections on the things of God. And can I say to you, this is how holiness is worked out in our lives. A holy God inside of us is calling us to speak certain things. A holy God inside of us is calling us to think certain things. A holy God is calling us to let the images of His mind fill our mind. And He is speaking into our heart. Our heart is listening. Our heart is responding. But He wants us to set our heart. I use the word reset because it's a continual process of resetting and resetting and resetting. You know, determining what my choices are going to be and where I'm going to live and what I'm going to allow into my mind. We are cooperating with the Holy Spirit in this process. Set your affections on things above. So, can I give you just a simple little exercise in this particular area? If you want to know what your affections are, it's very simple. Your affections are whatever you like to do most. Whatever you like to give yourself over to. whatever you desire the most in your life, and it's evidenced by how you spend your time. I'm being really honest. How you spend your time, that's a choice. You're making a choice based on what you like. And it can be any number, hundreds of different kinds of things. But how you spend your time tells you where your affections are. Who you spend your time with tells you what your affections are. How strongly you are drawn to certain things tells you where your affections are. And some of our affections are actually in pretty rotten places. I'm being honest with you. Some of our affections are misdirected completely. And God wants us to set our affections, and can I say it, passionately. You know, he wants our eyes to be filled with certain kinds of things and to actually make those things the desire of our heart. And you know, the only way that you can do this, you can't produce this in the flesh. You can't somehow make your desires change. We surrender to the Holy Spirit. I used the term a minute ago, to the Holy God. It's in the presence of the Holy God that we are exposed. It's in the presence of the Holy God that we see ourselves as we really are. He's the plumb line of holiness. And as we come into his presence, and as we, this incredible, beautiful relationship of no rejection, of no condemnation, of no accusation, I can come freely into the presence of God knowing that I have a heart that is deceitful, knowing that I have a heart that can be very wicked, knowing that I can have desires that are out of place and I can be given over to things that are not of God. I can come boldly before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ without fear. And I can, like David, I can open up my heart and I can say, search me, O God, and try me. Let the search light of your presence look upon every recess of my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's a cooperation that we do with the Holy Spirit. He wants to do that. He wants to make us Christ-like. He wants to make us holy, not just in our spirit, but in our heart. He wants to transform us so that holiness is what comes out of our life. Christ-likeness comes out of our life. Are you okay with this so far? Let me just share a second passage of Scripture with you. Mark chapter 12. This is Jesus answering one of the lawyers in his day. He was asking him the question, what's the most important part of the law? And Jesus, he says, what is the most important law? Jesus answers in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. He says, the most important one is this. Now, I want you to listen carefully to these words. This is the most important law to God, not just Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, this is Jesus calling us. In fact, in our church, we have, this is one of our primary values, this verse. This is the most important law before God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Lord our God is one. There is only one Lord. You know, that's why he's saying that. It's not two, there's not 50, there's not 1,000, there's only one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. That's the foundation of what you're going to hear next. Therefore, because there is only one Lord, there is only one God, there is only one supreme desire, one supreme vision, one supreme heart, one supreme mind. God is one. Therefore, love that one God. Love the Lord your God. And here it is, with all your heart. All these things that I mentioned to you, the will, the chooser inside of you, your moral character, your sense of right and wrong, your thinking processes, your vision, your images, and your desires. Love him with every part of your being. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, I'm going to say to you that this word love here, this word love is the word agape, and it actually, in this context, it means the covenant joining of a person to someone else. That's the meaning of it. To love God, in this sense, is not an emotion. It's the choice that I make to put him in a certain place in my life and to join myself to him and to him alone. It's like the covenant relationship that God has designed for marriage. I am setting my heart before God, and I am saying, you are the only one. You're the only one. My heart belongs to you. You are the only one. I will have no other gods before you. You're the only one. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to join myself to you. I'm going to give myself to you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And I want to emphasize that last word there, all of my strength. This is something that comes out of the heart. Passion and zeal and, you know, determination and fire. They're heart things. You know, and the Bible, you know, he talks about the opposite of our heart being troubled or losing heart. Do not lose heart. What he's saying to us when he's saying that is, don't lose the fire. Don't lose the desire. Don't lose the passion. Don't lose the encouragement of God inside of you. Did you know that you can actually encourage yourself in God like David did? Remember when he was being opposed on all sides and the raiders had come in when he was out at a battle with his guys, and they had captured the wives and the children and taken all the goods and taken them captive. And then his guys turned on him. His army turned on him. And so here's David left alone. And the Bible says he went out and encouraged himself in his God. You can do that. That is the restoring of our hearts to the desire and the fire of God. You know, you don't need to create your own fire. God's full of fire. He is. He is passionate about the things that he loves. He's passionate about truth. He's passionate about people. He's passionate about his purposes. All you have to do is get close. All you have to do is get close and let the Spirit of God work inside of you. Bring this down to a close here. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. God says, lay up treasures. Now, I'm going to emphasize the word treasure. Because he's going to say something about the heart in just a minute. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I just want to give you a couple images from the parables of Jesus. Two very interesting images. Man discovers that a pearl of great price is buried in a field. A pearl of great price, a treasure, buried in a field. And when he sees it, and when he understands what it is, that it's a pearl of great price, he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field where the pearl of great price is. Okay? I'm actually combining two parables that are the same. One is a man discovers a treasure buried in a field. The other one says that he discovers a pearl of great price. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, the key for us, brothers and sisters, is we have a lot of treasures that aren't of God. There are a lot of things that we treasure that simply are not things that God treasures at all. They're actually things that are far less than the treasures of God. And, you know, he says to them, don't store up treasures here on earth. Don't look at the things around you on this earth as the treasure. Don't see earthly things, natural things. Can I say to you today that the world, so I'm talking about the systems of this world, are masters at creating treasures to take you away from the real treasure. And we have to be able to discern what's real treasure and what is a facade. What is a cheap imitation? What is a counterfeit of the real treasures? But when you discover the real treasure, you will sell everything that you have to get the field. And what God wants to do is he wants you to see and experience and feel and touch and taste the treasures of heaven, the treasures of the presence of God, the treasures of the character and the nature of God, the treasures of his will, so that those become the things that you sell everything in your life to lay hold of. How do you know what your treasure is? It's how you spend your time. It's where your mind is continuously. It's where your imaginations are and where your desires are. So the Bible says, Jesus says this, seek first the kingdom of God. Everything about the king and the kingdom. Seek first the king and his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else is going to fall into place. Then I want to give you two short little passages that talk about guarding our hearts. Okay? There's an assault on your heart continuously. The enemy's after your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means keep watch over it. Protect your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are all the issues of life. You need to protect it because it's going to be the outflow of your life. It's going to cause the direction of the flow and what's produced by your life. So then it's the same verse in the Amplified Version. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for from your heart flow the springs of life. And then I want to read to you the passage, the context of this passage, actually, in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. And I say to you today, this is part of resetting our hearts. Part of resetting our hearts is setting our mind on the Word. It's setting our mind on, putting the Word in front of our eyes. Putting truth and the heart of God in front of our eyes. Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Meditate on them. Fill your heart with the words that I'm saying to you. God's words. For they are life to those who find them, and they are health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? Can I suggest to you today, there is a vigilance about guarding our heart, but the simplest way to guard your heart, rather than fighting the enemy to keep stuff out, is to fill it with what is of God. Fill it with truth. Set your affection on truth and on the things of God, and you're going to find yourself not having to do a lot of battling. Make truth. Make the Word of God the center of your thinking. Make it the priority in your life, and you'll find the battles a lot easier. God's Word. This is way too big of a subject. I actually had almost 28 pages of notes this morning. I condensed them down to four. This is the last verse. On the Word of God. Can I just to emphasize the resetting of our heart, our mind, our thinking, our desires, our emotions, the visions of our mind is actually filling ourselves with the Word. All of the vision of God is in His Word. All the way God thinks is in His Word. All the attitudes and desires of God are in His Word. We are conformed to the image of Christ as we get the Word inside of us. So here's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is alive, it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder, dividing apart inside of us. The Word of God divides between that which is of the soul and that which is of the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We have lousy discernment. We can't even tell sometimes when our heart is off. We don't have the ability in ourselves to discern sometimes whether we're even walking in the Spirit or not walking, whether there's desires that are tugging us in certain directions. In our own capacity as human beings, we do not have clear discernment on these things. And we very easily can deceive ourselves. But God has given us the ultimate tool. It is alive. And it is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and when we allow that Word to penetrate our hearts, we fill our hearts with that Word shows us the intents of our heart. It enables us to discern what's really going on inside of us as we open our heart before the Word of God. In humility, in desire. God, I want to be like you. Jesus, I need to have you transform my heart. Show me who I am. Show me what I'm like. Show me what my thinking is like. Show me what the desires of my heart are like that are not of you. And Jesus, open me up before you. Shine that light inside of me and that I can reset this heart of mine to be in tune with you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.